Hi, this is Bishop Wall from the Diocese of Gallup, and we're coming to you on CrozierCast. Today we have a very special guest. Our guest is Father Burke Masters. He is a priest in the Diocese of Joliet in Illinois and a very good friend. And so I'm grateful for having Father Burke on with us today. Hi, Father Burke.
Good afternoon, Bishop. It's a joy to be with you. I'm here in Hinsdale, Illinois, and from the parish of St. Isaac Jogues, and so great to be with you on the show.
So you're at St. Isaac Jogues. You're the pastor there. How long have you been the pastor there?
Just about a year and a half now. So I've been ordained 21 years, and for 16 of those years, I worked for the Diocese of Joliet, 12 in vocations, and then 4 as the director of evangelization. So it's great after 20 years being a priest to finally become a pastor. I just love walking with people on a daily basis on their spiritual journey.
So not only do you and I have the priesthood in common, but you and I also have something else in common. What did you do that was special for your 20th anniversary as a priest?
So I was able to get a sabbatical before I became pastor here at St. Isaac's. And for years, I've been wanting to walk the Camino de Santiago de Compostela. And I was able to do it in April and May of 2021, 2022. And so with 4 other guys, we walked 34 days, 515 miles. And then for the last 200 miles, we had a couple other guys join us. And it was a transformative experience, as you well know.
I do, and you when you walked it too, you blogged, you posted, you're right out there on social media, you put stuff out on YouTube. So do you know what, maybe talk a little bit about your social media activity when you're on, and also what you continue to do with social media.
Yeah, so when COVID started, I felt this strong urge from the Holy Spirit to kind of saying, help my people. This is God speaking to me. I felt, help my people stay connected to Him, to God, and to one another. And so I started doing a daily YouTube video, 5 minutes on the scriptures. And I thought it would just last a short time and, doing it every day would be overwhelming. But I've been doing it now for every day for over 3 years, and it's just been a just become a normal part of my ministry. And so when I travel, when I do pilgrimages, when I did the Camino, I would post a daily video on the scriptures, and I also do little 30-second, 1-minute videos from wherever we are, just to kind of take people along on the journey. And so those videos are all housed on my YouTube page. If you just search for my name, Father Burke Masters, you can find it. And I also have a written blog that I do in English and Spanish. Again, a reflection on the daily scriptures. And it's a WordPress blog that, again, if you Google my name and a blog, it'll show up frburke23.wordpress.com.
So I know walking on the Camino, it's just difficult to walk on the Camino itself. But when you were walking on the Camino, so each day you would record a video, not only on the daily scriptures, but you'd also do things as you walked along. Maybe if you met different groups or came to a different town or different things like that. So I know it was a lot of fun. I followed you along on it, and I know it was a lot of fun for a lot of people to follow you along. But you also do a formation, right? You have a formation program.
Yes, so another part of COVID, we started what we call Be Formed. There's Formed, which is from the Augustine Institute, which is a great apostolate. This is called Be Formed. I'm good friends with Dr. Bob Schutz, as you are, and he wrote the book Be Healed. So it's kind of a combination of formation and Dr. Bob's work. So Be Formed is an adult formation program that we've been going for 3 years. We've had seven, we call them seasons. They're like a semester in school. We do a weekly formation video, and over a season, we'll have a topic. So, for example, starting in February of 2024, We're going to have season, the second season of the Eucharist. It'll be season 8 in total, but the second season on the Eucharist for this Eucharistic revival. And you've been a contributor to that, other bishops and priests. It'll be about a 20 to 30 minute video on the topic. And then we encourage people to watch that video on their in their leisure because everybody's busy. And then you're a part of a small group that then gets together to discuss the content, but also to talk about your faith journey, moments you've experienced, God's grace during the week. And it's amazing how this combination of learning about our faith intellectually, but also growing in a Christian community, people's faith is just coming alive. And it's amazing to see. We have about 1,500 people participating, both in the Diocese of Joliet, but also beyond. And we're hoping to take this, you know, nationally as early as the fall of 2024 when we develop an app.
Yeah, so you can have people that are in your parish that are members of it. You can have like a women's only or a men's only or a couples only. You can have people all over the country. I know a friend of mine in the Diocese of Phoenix is a member of a group, and he has people who are in Hinsdale, but also people in New York and New Jersey and all over the country. So obviously that group, they meet virtually, but some of the groups do meet in person, right?
Correct. I would say we just did a survey. I think about two-thirds of the groups meet in some form of virtual. So, you know, some are even a hybrid. Some will be in person with a hybrid portion there. My group, we're all over the country, so we meet virtually. And I thought there's no way we're going to get to the depth of things that a group would get when they're meeting in person. But it's been amazing, the depth of the sharing in my own group of men. But there are also groups, as you said, that meet personally, and you know, that's ideal, obviously, if you can meet in person. But we also have people who are homebound and can't leave their home, but they're able to participate and be formed because they have a computer, and they're so grateful to be a part of a community that otherwise they would be cut off from because of their disability.
Yeah. I like you said, this kind of came during a time when we were all homebound. We were all kind of locked in, and so I like that it continues, even though we're back to somewhat of our normal life. But it really is a great ministry also to those people, like you said, who are homebound and might not be able to participate in the life of a parish as most people are able to do. Okay, so you did something recently. Actually, it came out on August 14th, 2023, I believe, right? So,
Yes.
what did you do?
I published my first book, which
The first book. You knew there's got to be a second one.
I'm hoping there's multiple ones coming. I have a lot of ideas in my mind, but this first one had been on my mind for a long time. And when I was vocation director, I would travel around the diocese and share my vocation story. And every time I shared it, someone would say, "You need to write a book because the story will inspire people." And I would just tuck those comments in the back of my mind, thinking, "No, other people write books, I don't." But it happened so many times, I felt like the Holy Spirit was calling me to do this. And so, honestly, I started writing probably in 2014 or 15, and I just got so busy, it just got shelved. And then around 2017 or 18, my niece, Mackenzie, just graduated from Colorado State with a degree in creative writing. And she didn't have a job yet. And she said, "Father Burke," well, she calls me Frunkel Burke, the combination of father and uncle,
Other uncle.
Frunkel Burke. She said, "I'll help you finish that book if you want." And I said, "Absolutely, I'd love that." So she flew out from Colorado, where she grew up and lives still. She interviewed a bunch of my family and friends here and helped me finish the book, which is just a great help. And as we then were searching for publishers, we finally landed with Word on Fire. Bishop Barron was one of my professors, and what a great professor he was, but also great to connect with his publishing company because he has over 1 million people on his mailing list, and so once the book was published, I started hearing from people all over the world, which was incredible. People that I would never have reached, but because of his reach, it's now going all over. And the first print sold out within 2 weeks, and kind of surprised us all. And so it took a while, a couple months actually, to get another print finished. And now the second print is on sale through Word on Fire, through Amazon, and then Barnes and Noble.
So I guess we should probably say the name of the book because we haven't said that yet. So the name of the book is A Grand Slam for God, A Journey from Baseball Star to Catholic Priest. So let's talk about like let's talk about baseball. Baseball was very important and continues to be really important in your life. So you want to talk about that?
Sure. Yeah, so I grew up in a sports-minded family. My dad actually played college basketball, so sports are big in our family. He played college basketball at Mississippi State. And so I grew up from the earliest time of being able to walk, I had some kind of basketball, baseball in my hand. And I'm the youngest of three boys, so I always had to try to keep up with my brothers playing. And they take all the credit for my athletic success because I always had to keep up with the older boys. And so baseball is what actually, I wasn't raised Catholic, and my parents sent me to a Catholic high school because they had the best baseball program in town. And so God has used baseball as a way to, bring me into the church, and we can talk about that. And then I went on to play college baseball at Mississippi State University, where my dad played basketball. Played briefly in the Chicago White Sox minor league system. And obviously, that wasn't God's plan for me. But baseball still remains a passion for me. And in 2013, I was able to become the chaplain for the Chicago Cubs. And it's just
Not too
a
long after
great.
that, they won it all.
2016, they won the World Series after 108 years of futility. Chicago was going crazy. And so it was great just to be a small part of that championship. So I just looking back on my life, baseball is a common thread. And now looking back to seeing how God was such an instrumental force in my life at every point. Using baseball, using the Eucharist to continue to bring me closer to him.
Yeah, as you were saying that you weren't Catholic, but your parents think God sent you to a Catholic school and you accidentally received your first Holy Communion.
Yes. I always tell people, don't try this at home, right? So this was the 1980s. I received my first communion. It would have been in 1984. And I went on a retreat. So back up, I was going to the all school masses at the high school, and they didn't teach us how to go up and receive a blessing if we weren't Catholic. So I would just stay in my seat during mass and just
Yeah,
observe.
this was back in the day. This was back in the early 80s, so that wasn't as common back then as it might be now.
Today, correct.
Yeah.
And so I would just sit and watch and observe. And early on, I would say to myself, like, why are they so reverent to a piece of bread? I'd see people bow before they'd receive the Eucharist. And then in our theology classes, Sister Margaret Ann was teaching us about the Eucharist being the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus. And I thought, how can that be? I'm an empirical person. I like proof. I was a science, major. I majored in math in college. But I went on a retreat my junior year, and there was a visiting priest
Kairos
celebrating
retreat,
mass.
Kairos, or
I did
similar
Kairos.
to it.
Yeah, I did Kairos my senior year. This was just we do every year we do an annual retreat as a class, and there was a visiting priest for mass. I didn't know him. He didn't know me, and so it was a small group of maybe 20 guys at the mass. So he just kind of gathered us around the altar for the whole mass. It was very intimate. And when it came time for communion, he just started going around the semicircle with the Eucharist. And I was the last one in the semicircle. And as he stood before me, I didn't know to cross my arms. And he said the body of Christ and held up the Eucharist. And I opened my mouth to say, I'm not Catholic. And before the words came out, in went the Eucharist. And I was shocked. But at the same time, I felt the power of God go through my body in a way that I can only describe it as I knew intellectually now that this was more than a piece of bread, that it was the very body of Christ. And I went home that night to my parents and I told them, I said, I have to join the Catholic Church. And they said, slow down. They always told my brothers and me that when we were old enough, when we were 18, we could choose our faith. My parents were Christian, but non-practicing by that time. And so they loved Jesus and they wanted us to be Christians, but they kind of left it up to us. I don't recommend that path, but interestingly now, all of my brothers and I, two are, I'm a priest, of course. One is a practicing Catholic.
Obviously you're Catholic.
I am Catholic. And my other brother, I think, is on his way to becoming a practicing Catholic as well. So it worked out in our family, but I would recommend if you're listening, teach your kids the faith from a young age. I use the analogy, I met a family once, they were just all decked out in Cubs gear. And, from the little boys all the way to the older ones and mom and dad, and we started talking about faith. And, they said, we're just going to let our kids decide when they're old enough to choose their faith. And I said, well, you haven't waited to indoctrinate them into the Cubs kingdom, right? And it caught them off guard. But then they started to realize, they said, you're right. We're putting the Cubs even before faith. And I started to see that family then at church, which was awesome.
Yeah, I mean, we do that with, we send kids to preschool and K through 12, and we give them all the necessary tools. So when they graduate from high school, they can make a decision about which way they want to go in life. And if we don't do that, then they can't make a decision whether if I want to be a doctor or a lawyer or teacher or whatever the case might be. We give them those necessary tools so that when they do become adults, they can make good decisions.
Exactly.
It's much more important than your faith is much more important than these other things.
Yeah, you and I both are big advocates for education, right? Math, science, English, literature, that's all great. But none of that is going to be on, as Patrick Madrid says, our exit interview when we when we die. But learning about Jesus and developing a relationship with him and having faith, those are the most important things that we can have in this life and, of course, for eternity.
So Grand Slam for God. So I don't want to give away too much of the book because I want people to go out and get the book and read it for themselves. I read it. I loved it. I wrote a little blurb for it. I know my mom read it, and she read it in about a day and a half and absolutely loved it. And her first comment, well, first she said how good it was, but then secondly, she said, he's a really good writer. So that was kudos to that from a woman who spends her life reading books. She loves to read books. And she, like you, is a convert to the faith. And I know my mother, as well as my father, the big movement for their own conversion had to do with the Eucharist, very, very similar to yours as well. So, so you played baseball at Mississippi State. You eventually went on and found your call to the priesthood. You've been serving as a priest for 21 years and faithfully serving as a priest for 21 years. If there's one thing, let's talk about two things, because you're a convert and you're a Catholic priest. If there's one thing a person that might be thinking about becoming a Catholic, one thing they should do, what would you say that is?
Yeah, that's a good question. A lot of things come to mind immediately, but
well, we know it's not to walk up and receive communion.
And honestly, going to Mass would not be my first thing, because sometimes I remember I was so out of my comfort zone when I started to go to mass because I didn't know when to stand, when to sit, when to kneel, what was going on. But I would, if you have somebody that can coach you before you go in and teach you why we do what we do, that would be a great thing. One of the things that really helped me was starting to learn some of the church history and to study like the beginnings of the faith from the Acts of the Apostles continuing on. We call that apostolic succession. And to realize that the Catholic Church has an unbroken bond of succession from the time of Christ to the apostles to the bishops and priests of today. And to me, that was so important because, I grew up in a fairly Catholic area as a non-Catholic, and sometimes we would go to my grandparents' church, which were Protestant, and then we'd go to the other grandparents, the next week, and they would sometimes teach very different things. And I remember thinking, who's right, And when I started learning about the magisterium of the church, which is kind of like the teaching authority of the church in Rome, that there's one central place that, helps guide the whole world in teaching, that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for something that I can hang my hat on that, I could say this, I can believe that this is true because these brilliant minds that have gone before us, guided by the Holy Spirit, have taught this. And then, of course, I would have them learn about the Eucharist, go to John chapter 6, and look at how many converts have come into the church, some very brilliant men and women, not because it was all about intellectual conversion, but it was the sense of this is Jesus in the Eucharist. He's present in every tabernacle in the world. When I started to go to Catholic churches, I couldn't explain why it felt different, but now I understand it was the presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. And so I just started feeling at home in a Catholic church. Had no idea why, but now I do.
Good. All right. So that would be for somebody who's, and if you know, and the way somebody does become Catholic is going through RCIA. Now it's going to be called OCIA, right? Order of Christian Initiation of Adults. So, contact your local parish, talk to them about it, and I would say just start the classes. Don't put them off. Just start the classes as soon as you can.
Yeah,
And then the
and
other
with that
things,
bishop, I
sure.
just want to add something. I think there's a lot of misconceptions about the Catholic Church out there, especially, having grown up Protestant. Many people think Catholics worship Mary, Catholics worship statues. Why do you go to a priest for confession when you can go straight to God? There are very good answers to those questions, all based in scripture. And there's really great resources out there. So learn from the Catholic Church what the Catholic Church believes before you believe what other people say about the Catholic Church. And
Yeah,
I think that's really
and
key.
so listen to our mutual friend on Relevant Radio in the morning, Patrick Madrid. He just takes all kinds of questions and answers all kinds of questions really well. Yeah, I always tell people if the Catholic Church believed half of or taught half of what people accuse us of, wrongfully accuse us of believing, I wouldn't be Catholic,
I
right?
wouldn't
There's no
either.
way. But I believe what the Catholic Church teaches is true, and that's why I'm Catholic.
Yeah.
So,
Amen.
if you were a young man who was discerning your own vocation and possibly vocation to the priesthood, what would be your first step?
My first step would be to go to adoration. So when I was vocation director, 12 years, probably interviewed, well over 100 guys, and almost to a man, they would say, Father, I was in adoration and I started to hear God's voice in my heart. That combined with going to daily mass. I know you and I both have similar experiences there where that combination of daily mass, I made a Crucio in 1993. I was 26 years old, and that was transformative. I started to go to daily mass, And then a couple years later, I learned about adoration because I'd never heard of adoration before as a fairly new Catholic. And that combination just drew me into the priesthood. I felt like every time I'd go to adoration, the idea of priesthood came to mind. And it was involuntary because I didn't want to be a priest. I wanted to get married. I wanted to be general manager of the Cubs or White Sox one day. And God was calling me to be a priest. And I said, God, I don't want to do this, but you have to make it clear. And so people started coming up to me and they would say, Burke, I think you'd make a really good priest. And so they were affirming externally what I was hearing in my heart in prayer. And I thought, I have to give this a try. Otherwise, I'll always wonder what if.
Yeah, it's amazing when you start sharing your story with other priests, how we all have very similar stories, but especially when it's in connection to the Eucharist and daily Mass and Eucharistic adoration. I know for both of us, it was a very, very big part of our own lives was daily Mass, Eucharistic adoration. And I always like to say is because we know that we have a guaranteed encounter with the living Christ, and that he's the one that calls you to the vocation. So good. Well,
Yeah,
thanks.
so as
You have more to
yeah,
say?
I was just going to say one quick thing. When I was vocation director, that was my number one goal was to get men in front of Jesus in the Eucharist. And Jesus is the ultimate vocation director. And so I can't overemphasize that point of adoration and daily Mass, like you're saying.
Exactly. All right. Well, good. Well, we'll wrap things up here on Crozier Cast. Father Burke, thanks for joining us on our Crozier Cast. And the name of Father Burke's book is A Grand Slam for God: Journey from Baseball Star to Catholic Priest. You can get it on Word on Fire Press. You can get it on Amazon. You can get it at Barnes and Noble. It's a phenomenal book. It's a great book. Such a good book. I gave it to all my priests and deacons this year for Christmas, and so I highly recommend it to everybody. And you don't have to be a priest or a deacon to read this book. I think it's a book for everyone. So please pick up a copy. Thanks, Father Burke. God bless.
God bless you too. Thanks, Bishop Wall, for your time.